that it's well with my soul. And I'm thankful that I know where I'm headed. And I'm thankful that the folks around me can know and realize that I'm different. Not that I'm better than anybody, not that I deserved anything any better, but the Lord done a work on the inside. And I'm thankful that it's on the inside and it works its way to the outside, if I understand it right. But God's good to us. I'm thankful that He manifests His presence. I'm thankful for that folks that will stand up and testify for Lord Jesus Christ. They ain't bragging about themselves, or they ain't bragging about their job. They ain't bragging about what's going to go on next week. But magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for prayer meeting. I'm thankful we can have a midweek service that the Holy Ghost of God will show up and meet with us. I'm thankful for that. I know a lot of times we'll say it and act like the Lord's not ever done nuts for us. But He's done more for us than the whole world together. The Lord's good to us. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. A lot of times we're real tired. And we'll come to the house of God and we'll get real comfortable. And it'll be real warm and we'll get real sleepy or real hungry. And we'll have a million things on our mind. But the Lord shows up. In the songs of Zion, He shows up in prayer time. He shows up in the preaching time. Well, I'm thankful He's good to us. He's a precious. He's precious. Boy, I'm thankful for the blood that was shed at Calvary. I'm thankful for the powers that's in the blood. I'm thankful He's still saving folks. The blood's still got just as much power now as it ever has. He ain't changed one bit. But I thought, boy, if anybody's changed, that'd be me and you, friend. Lord's still got plenty of power. He's still worthy to praise. He's still worthy to love on. He's still worthy to pray to. He's still worthy to read His word. He's got 66 books He's given us. His love letter. He's worthy to adore. It's not about not getting up here and telling fairy tales and jokes and the smoke and the lights and the nonsense, but it's about the Lord Jesus Christ that we come and He should be high and lifted up. It's not about a man. And we got a good pastor, we got good teachers, and that's all well and good in this place. But nobody's ever took the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never has, never can, or never will. He's worthy to magnify. He's worthy to lift up. Chapter 13, it says, "And in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when all, or when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Brother Creston, would you pray for them?
Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, God, as our brother does, saying, Thanks for just showing up, getting with us. God, we're just the branches. Oh, yeah. We want you to know we're just dependent on you, because, Father, God, we must have your power, your presence tonight. Bless your preacher, God. Bless the preaching of the word. God, we need to hear from you. Speak to all of our hearts, God. God, we love you. Thank you for dying for us. And God, I pray you'll forgive every one of us for what we've done to you, Father. God, it's all of our sins. It's all of you, all the pain you've ever known. Father, we just repent of that. We love you tonight. Thank you, God, for your amazing grace and your sweet mercy. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Maybe if I had a thought there. It's got different places I'd like to read, but my thought is out there in verse 6. It said, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I thought about some friendships in the Bible. I thought maybe some different places. I got just a few. A little bit of reading, but let's start over here in Genesis, Abraham and Lot, chapter 13. It said, and Lot also, with which went, you know, with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. And so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. In chapter 14. In verse 14 it said, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. And he divided himself against them, and he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And I thought maybe about a special friendship there between Abraham and his nephew Lot. That's the way we ought to be here at the house of God. We're all one big family. At least we ought to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. If we're blood bought. But I thought, boy, what a special friendship between them two right there. They was blood kin. They was family. But I thought, well, how that Abraham looked out for Lot, and how that he made some bad choices. They had so much, so many possessions that we all know the story. But he let Lot pick where he wanted to go first, and he seen the goodness of the land, and boy, he didn't realize that it was going to wreck his family and it was going to destroy his life. And it vexed his righteous soul. And we know when we get to the New Testament, it tells us some things about Lot. He acted like a lost man when he went to that land and done things he ought not to be doing. And boy, how that I thought, boy, what a mess that they was in. Everything looked real good to start with. And I tell you, looking at some things, there's a lot of things that look real good to start with. But if we ain't real careful, it affects our souls. It causes power with God. It'll create some a mess in our life if we ain't real careful. That's why it's important to stay with God and to seek God's will, no matter what the situation might be. But we just go with God and just take the scriptures and pray about it. I'll tell you, you can ask folks, you can ask your friends, you can ask your spouse, and you might get some good answers. You might ask your coworkers, and you might get some good answers. But God may have something different for me and you. It pays to go with God. No matter what folks say, no matter what the world says, it pays to go with God. There's a lot of things in the Bible where folks have made some bad decisions and it's caused them some problems. Just got a here in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. It says, now and it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites, I don't know if I'm saying them right or not, but Bethlehem Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each of her mother's house. And the Lord dealt kindly with you, and you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they left by their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have any husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having a husband? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me as much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I thought about Ruth and Naomi. I thought about how a special friendship that they had. And they was some bad situations that went on there. For whatever reason, but I just the way life is sometimes. The death comes and problems come, and it's just part of everyday life. But I'm thankful when we put the Lord first and seek His face, everything will be all right.
Amen.
But the Lord worked it out in the end. Whenever there at the end of the book, in the last of the chapters there. Well, I thought, well, how did he send them a kinsman redeeper, and how that got a handful of purpose. And I thought, boy, everything just worked out real good.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm thankful, boy, when you think things look real bad and things look looks pretty gloomy, and we start having a pity party a lot of times, boy, that's when the Lord shows up. He's all, I mean, maybe we get to wonder, boy, how am I going to pay that bill, or how am I going to make that, are we going to have food on the table, or are we going to be able to pay the water bill, the light bill, or Lord, what are we going to do? But I tell you, the Lord always shows up right on time. I've never found that he's never showed up early, and he's never showed up late. But for some reason, he always shows right up on time.
Amen.
He's good to us.
Yeah.
Here in the book of Samuel, chapter 1, or 1 Samuel. Chapter 20. Verse 41, it said, and as soon. Verse 34, and so Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed unto David with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run and find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when he and when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" And Jonathan cried after the lad, "Make speed, haste, stay not." And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto the lad and said unto him, "Go, carry them to the city." And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as you have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. I thought, what a special relationship between Jonathan and David. We know how that Jonathan's dad and David had some problems, and how that somebody was going to get killed, probably more than that was the story. But I thought, boy, how the Lord had worked it out, and boy, how that. But anyway, the Lord had his hand on David. And the Lord had his hand on it Saul at one time, but boy, how that. And then when you flip over there, I guess it's 2 Samuel chapter 9, but it talks about, I guess it's Jonathan's son, how that, I thought, well, how that he could eat at the king's table, and how that, boy, how the nurse had dropped him, and boy, how that he got hurt, and how the Lord had showed some kindness. Boy, I'm thankful. Boy, how the Lord works like that for me and you, that he'd show us some kindness. And that we can come and eat at the king's table anytime. I thought, boy, I maybe be a different king, a different circumstance, a different time period, but God's still the same. And I think we can use that for a spiritual application, that the Lord, our Heavenly Father, our King, our Savior, would show us some kindness. That we could come and eat at the king's table anytime. Continually, anytime. I think we go out through the week. We have a meeting here, as I might, usually on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And the rest of the time we'll be out there in the world or on the job or whatever the case may be. And we need the Lord. In a time of wickedness on every hand, I tell you, folks, I tell you, more interesting the things of the world. I tell you, maybe interesting drugs and alcohol and the things that please the flesh. But I'm glad I've got a place that I can come to, or at the house, so that I can get on my knees and I can have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. After putting up with wickedness all day and perverted minds, and well, after a time it has a bearing on the feller. But I'm thankful that we've got one we can go to. I'm glad I can go to him with the Bible. I've got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother, and everybody that's saved has got to, we've all got that same friend. He said, "I'd never leave you and I'd never forsake you." And we've all probably got some pretty good friends somewhere along the line, but he's not a friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. When you can't talk to your spouse, when you can't talk to your friends, or whatever the case may be, I'm glad no matter what time it is, I'm thankful the Lord's ready to listen. Whether it's a good times or bad times or anywhere in between. We have something special in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Kings. Chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord took up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest not thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head?" today. And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from the head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided thither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of the Spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Thought about how that he wanted a double portion. Well, I thought, boy, how it'd be good if we all would get in a place like that and seek the Lord's face and want a double portion of the Lord for ourselves, or maybe for our families or for our loved ones. If we come to the house on Sunday morning and the Lord just give everybody a double portion in the service, say for Sunday morning, I thought Brother Kevin, he'd probably get beside himself, that he could see that we'd been with the Lord and we'd spent some time with the Lord, and our brothers and sisters and lost folks could see something different, that we'd had been with the Lord. It makes a difference.
Yes, sir.
That double portion. St. John, chapter 13. Verse 23. And it said, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Yeah. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot and the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, What thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, and that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Thought about Jesus's and John's friendship. I think it was Sister Sheila used to sing a song about that. What a special relationship that they had with the Lord Jesus Christ, especially John there. And I thought how that they learned that Judas was the problem. How that he sold the Lord for just a small amount of money, was it 30 pieces of silver? Well, I thought, how much have we sold the Lord out for? The Lord's done a lot of things for me and you. He always provides for us, whether it be physical or spiritual or financial. Yeah. The Lord takes care of our every need. I tell you, when problems come, what else? We've got a great source to go to. We have an advocate with the Father. We have all kinds of sources with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've sold him out for a lot less.
Yeah, that's right.
It's easy to point fingers and it's easy to blame this person or that person, but we look in the mirror, we always find a problem.
Yes, sir.
A I've heard we can blame the pastor, we can blame the Sunday school teachers, we can blame the deacons, we can blame the singers, we can blame our brothers and sisters, but until we get self-fixed, everybody, when we get self-fixed, everybody else looks real good. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I thought about that friendship between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave the best heaven had for me and you. Greater love hath no man. What kind of love do we have? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. That wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I thought about Paul and Timothy, what a precious relationship they had. I realized Paul was a great man of God, and how that he instructed Timothy, and how that he helped him and to become the great man that he was. And I realized it hinges on the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he used Paul and how that he saved him and struck him down on the road to Damascus and made a great warrior out of him, basically. And I thought, well, how that Paul took Timothy under his wing, and how that he taught him a lot of things. I'm thankful we got folks in our lives that can help us. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. It says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. I thought about John, Mark, and Paul, how their friendship. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 12, whom I have sent again, therefore, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest to receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, but beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I thought, what a special relationship, friendship between Paul and Philemon and Onesimus or Onesimus. I thought, what a special relationship they had with Paul. And boy, how the Lord just helped them all together, how they yoked them together, and how precious it was. I'm thankful that we can have that at the house of God. Yeah.